Okay. Starting on page 18, the last word of the line is Zois Milas Yisira. Chapter 5, we're talking about a parenthesis. The concept is, or we're talking about concepts, grasping a concept.
Yes.
And he said that being that the Torah is the will and wisdom of Hashem,
right,
that when a person understands it, they are quote unquote grasping, which means they have it, it's theirs,
right,
it is part of them, the will and wisdom of Hashem.
Right.
Okay, in such a way that there is no way comparable to describe the unity that now exists with the person who's learning Torah and God, because there is no other type of unity, how unified we become when we're learning Torah.
Right.
This is now the truly wondrous and great advantage, infinitely so, when it comes to the mitzvah of knowing Torah and comprehending it, I'll call mitzvahs maisius, over all other positive commandments, even those commandments which are dependent on speech, because studying Torah has to be done with speech. And then you have other mitzvahs which are dependent on speech, like, for example, the mitzvah of prayer, which according to the Torah is not to daven shmeina esrei, that's midrabbanan.
Right.
The idea of prayer is that when you need something,
you would make a request.
You make a request. And then there's something called Seder Shvachav, as the Rambam writes,
yeah,
that you first have to say how great God is. Okay. God could get you in a proper frame of mind.
Correct.
Make your request, and then
right,
say thank you. And that's right, the pattern that that the Anshei Knesset Gedolah,
right,
formulated the Shmeina Esrei.
Mm-hmm.
The first three brachas are saying how great God is, Hakel, Hagadol, Haneirva, etc., etc. Then you have the middle brachas where you're asking for, first of all, I wish I had das,
yeah,
and etc.,
yeah,
etc.
Right.
And then you're saying thank you, my dear.
Right. Right.
Okay, I heard a cute story. Guy hunting around in a cave, going spelunking.
Uh-huh.
And he finds a bottle.
Mm.
It's an interesting looking bottle.
Mm.
He pulls the bottle out, and he pulls out the cork to see what's inside. The genie comes out.
Oh,
the genie says you could have one of three things.
Right.
You could have wealth, be absolutely fabulously filthy wealthy.
Right.
You could be absolutely, completely, and totally attracted to women,
okay,
irresistible.
Okay.
Or you could have knowledge.
Uh-huh.
So he says, I'm going knowledge.
Okay.
So he says, fine. Okay, you're now one of the smartest people in the world. Okay, so he closes the bottle back up. He's sitting there thinking for a while. And he uncorks the bottle and he says, hey, genie, can I change it to wisdom, to money now?
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's worked out good. Can I change? Can I make a change request? Yeah.
Anyway, now I'm so smart.
Yeah, it worked out good. I guess. By the way.
Stupid you were, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so and then you have like the mitzvah of benching, for example, and then you have a mitzvah not even of us of yediyas hatayr. There's a mitzvah just to say words of tayr. When you're talking like, for example, like tillim.
Right.
Okay, it is a mitzvah for a person to be reciting words of Tillim, even if they haven't got a clue what they're talking about.
Right.
Okay, there's a famous story with, I'm not sure I remember all the details. There's a balagala from Rabbi Elimelech Lezhansk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he was such a balagala, he was like, he knew Sefer Bereishis by heart. Okay, but
okay,
he didn't know what the words meant.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
So wherever he would go, he would recite Sefer Bereishis.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And he would encourage other. He would sit and learn with other Valagolas and try and teach them to learn the Pesukim Baal Peh.
Uh-huh.
How it is he came to learn Sefer Bereishis? That's, you know, it's like several hundred Pesukim. You know.
Right.
So.
Right.
So I don't remember all the details, but when he passed away,
right,
they just said to him, "Who are you? What kind of Gan Eden should we give you? Just a balagola. You know, well, you got any? You have any schus? You have any merits?" So he said, "Listen, you know, I was a balagola for Levi. It's like of Elimelech Lezhansk. She said, that's okay for that to get a Kleina Gan Eden. So suddenly they hear a rumbling. Okay? Just like this massive, like, roar. What was it? It was all of the hoofbeats from all of the horses from when he was reciting the Pesukim that now came to testify on his behalf.
Yeah.
Okay, so made his whole big shturim, knocked everybody out, and they let him into the highest Gan Eden. So there's an advantage, but that only works with Torah Shabbat Ksav.
Yes.
Torah Shabbat Ksav, you can learn it and not know what it means, and it's still called learning. Okay, there is a debate. The Rebbe, for example, never quoted a verse unless he was looking at it inside, because it's Torah Shabbat Ksav. What he would do is he would misquote the verse, he would quote part of it. I once had this whole thing is...
He would misquote it.
He would mispronounce one of the words. The one sticks out of my head because the whole problem when I was in Australia. So there's a verse the Rebbe would quote, Adam le'amal yivolid. Man was born to work.
Okay. So I
was making this speech and I said, Adam le'amal yivolid. Okay, I don't even know where the pasuk is. Someplace in Tillim, someplace. I probably say it every, three times, four times a month. I don't even know who pays attention to saying Tillim. So somebody came over to me and said, the word's yulad. I said, what are you talking about? I've heard the Rebbe say it 100 times. Adam le'amal yivalid. And he opened it up. I don't remember where he showed me. It said, yulad. So maybe it's someplace else that says yivalid. Somebody asked somebody else. He said, no, when the Rebbe was quoting Torah Shabbat Ksav, he looked inside and read it, because it's Biksav, it's written, or he would mispronounce one of the words, or he wouldn't quote the whole verse.
Why?
So, because since it's Torah Shabbat Ksav, you have to read it. Torah Shabbat Peh, you could say orally.
So, because you must read it.
You must read it, yes.
Okay.
So, now, but there are exceptions to that.
Chose 12 psukim for people to learn by heart.
Yeah.
Some of them are from Jewish books. Because they have its own stringency, so not
true. Okay, but people do say Shema Baal Peh, for example, and you have to, Breishis Bara is taught by Baal Peh to little kids. And the Vishinantam, Kikar is part of Tanya already. Taratziva, these are psukim that are traditionally taught Baal Peh. Parshas Hazino, you're supposed to learn by heart, and Birchas Yaakov to his kids, you're supposed to learn by heart, but other than that. So, and benching is something that you're supposed to say with words. These are the commandments that you're supposed to say with words. So he says, so now you have this mitzvah of Yediyas HaTeira, which he says in chapter 16, that when a person does the mitzvahs, b'chol leiv nefesh b'maisa dibur machshava shehu yediyas hatera. There he says that what's the mitzvah of a mitzvah that's done b'machshava is yediyas hatera. So you see, the idea of comprehending Torah is not that you're able to say it over; it's that because that's when you learn something by heart. Okay, so you could forget it.
You don't necessarily understand.
When I was 10 years old, even though you don't understand, you don't remember it.
Right.
Okay, when I was 10 years old, it was 1968, the year after Martin Luther King got shot, and I had to learn the Washington Wall address.
Yes.
By heart, and all I remember is I had a dream,
right.
And then that one day all men would be created black and white, Jew and Gentile, and then free at last, thank God Almighty, we're free at last. That's the only part I remember.
Right.
But I remember that I had to learn the whole thing by heart.
Okay,
so I learned it by heart, but I forgot it.
Right.
But, Baruch Hashem, not every stupid thing that I learned that I remember,
I understand.
The jingle for every commercial that was ever on television, that's another story, but
what can I say?
So Yediyas HaTeira is something even more than just reciting the words of, say, like Tillim, that a person doesn't understand. Because he says, even the mitzvahs that you have to do, b'dibur, like saying Shema, and even Talmud Teira Shebedibur, and even learning the Teira in Dibur. Okay, because when a person learns, when a person comprehends it, we were talking about before, he says over here now.
Yeah.
Because through all the other mitzvahs that a person does in action and speech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu malbish es hanefesh, the Hashem enclosed the guy's soul, umakifo or Hashem aresh vadraglev, and his soul is encompassed by the light of Hashem from head to toe.
Right.
This is what we've been talking about before. We talked about in chapter 4 that when a person does a mitzvah, it's the end of chapter 4, he said it's like he's getting hugged by Hashem.
Right.
Because the mitzvahs are an expression of will, and will is external. And therefore, the ramifications and the effects that they're going to have are also going to be external.
Right.
So, but Yediyas HaTeira is you're internalizing it.
Okay.
So it's a mitzvah on one hand, so you're getting that external relationship as
right,
well.
Right,
Hashem
right.
is giving him the hug
right,
because he's
right,
doing
right,
the mitzvah
right,
of Yediyas HaTeira
right,
of understanding
right,
the Torah.
Right, right.
But then he's getting it even one step further as he's taking that Yediyah and he's taking that hug, you might
right.
say, and internalizing it. And it all happens all simultaneously. Unlike, for example, we have another thing which happens like this, and that's with the relationship between the sukkah and lulav.
Yes.
Okay. The Rebbe spoke in a sicha in Tavshin Mem Beis.
Okay.
Not that I remember all the sichas that the Rebbe said in Tavshin Mem Beis.
Okay.
But because I have Baruch Hashem now an iPod, and there was one Fabrengen that the Rebbe Fabrengened in all the years that he was a Fabrengening on Yud Dalid Elul, did it one time, which happens to be my birthday, so this week I was listening to it.
Ah, indeed.
So he said, Yud Dalid Elul is a very special day. I said, ooh, Yud Dalid Elul is a very special day. What's so special about Yud Dalid Elul?
Uh-huh.
Is it's 30 days before Sukkot.
Uh-huh.
So since it's 30 days before Sukkah, so you have to start learning the laws of Sukkah.
Uh-huh.
That's
okay.
So special about the day that I was born. I can start preparing for Sukkah.
Very
not that I've I only have a handful of orders of Kapparas, which is more what I'm worried about right now. So so what's the deal with Sukkahs?
Yeah.
We have, for example, you have the Sukkah. The Sukkah is a giant hug. It
indeed
is.
It
you
is.
Are surrounded by the mitzvah.
Yes.
And how big is the biggest sukkah you could make? The smallest sukkah. You know what the smallest sukkah is?
Yes, Dalet Amos, right?
Shevet Tvachim.
Yeah.
No, not Dalet Amos. Shevet Tvachim. Seven
oh, yeah.
hand breaths.
Oh, yeah.
28
yeah.
inches cubed.
Yeah.
That's enough to get your head up to down to about your solar plexus. You can put the thing on the table outside, stick your head into it, put a little couple of branches on it, say a bracha.
Really?
Yes.
Without the rest of your person being in there?
Correct. You have to have your reisha v'roiv gufay. That's what you need to have.
Interesting.
Okay, so that means down below the waist. So
yeah,
you can stuff it into that 28-inch box.
Yeah.
You're good.
You're good.
Okay?
Cool.
I don't know how what size door you would have on that little tiny sukkah. You know, but anyway, so the what's the largest sukkah you could have?
I don't think there's any limits. If all of Yerushalayim is going to be a sukkah when Mashiach comes.
It's large enough to fit every Jew.
Right. That's
big enough to hold.
I'd say once you run out of land, you've about hit it.
Yeah. The entire Jewish people. That's the largest sukkah that you could have.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing of it is sukkah is it's an enveloping.
Right, right.
Okay,
right.
But then what do? We have this mitzvah lulav, which you're supposed to do. When you bench lulav, you're supposed to do it in the sukkah.
Right.
And you're supposed to do what? You're supposed to take the lulav and extend it out towards the schach and then draw it down towards your heart to internalize
right.
the if this makif effect, this encompassing effect of the sukkah. So there you have also a relationship, but what do you have to do? There you have to do something. You have to go into the sukkah. And in the sukkah, you have to take the thing, the lulav, and you have to do it in such a way so that you're internalized. When it comes to Yediyas HaTeira, all you got to do is learn and understand it. And it happens automatically. You get both automatically. That's the advantage of understanding. Teira specifically.
Understand.
Okay, so of course you have, there's a mitzvah of learning Teira, there's a mitzvah of saying Teira. And there's a mitzvah of understanding Torah. Okay? And the greatest unity of all occurs when a person understands the Torah. Because that really is part of them. What happens with the makifim from the sukkah that you're drawing down Well, sukkah is over, so you go weiter. Mm-hmm. You know, ideally, it says in all of the Maimorim that you should live sukkah a whole year. You know, it's the you ask a Chabad rabbi, what's the most important holiday? You know what it'll say?
The one you're in.
The next one.
Yeah, the one you're in, right.
Next one coming up.
Right.
That's the most important one.
Exactly.
You know, so you're supposed to live sukkahs a whole, according to all those drushes, you're supposed to take your sukkahs with you a whole year.
Yes. Indeed.
Okay, along with the matzah that you ate, and along with the matan Torah, and along with the fruit that you ate on Tu B'Shvat.
Yeah.
The dancing that you did on Tu B'Av.
Indeed.
Yes, and the fasting that you did on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, you know, so it's just supposed to schlep it with you the whole year.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Mm. Okay, so your
Yedi
is a Torah, you gotta listen, you know.
Yeah.
The idea satera affects the person such automatically. Okay, that what? They become totally united and encompassed by Hashem. In the stroke of a pen, you might say. One swoop.
One fell swoop.
Yeah, it will be idea satera when it comes to understanding Tera, Milvad Shahasecha Malubish Bachmasa Hashem, aside from the fact that his intellect is enclosed in the wisdom of Hashem. Hinigam Chachmas Hashem Bekirboy, the wisdom of Hashem is also inside him, this person who's understanding. Masha Hasechel Mesik Vitayasuk Makiv Besichloi, however much his intellect was able to comprehend, to grasp and encompass in his Sechel. Masha Esterlolatayas Allah Hasik Beyadiyas Ateira, how much he was able to grasp and understand in this understanding of the Teira. Each person according to his intellectual and the power of his knowledge, meaning his intellectual capacities, when it comes to comprehending the different levels of the Torah. Because there are some people that just
not going to get it.
They don't have it.
They don't have the capacity.
They don't have the tools. Right. I don't know if I told them. I used to learn with a guy who was in Kehillah. And we used to learn Gemara. Okay, and I made sure that every single day I'd say a Hasidic vart.
Right.
And I would say, somehow I'd like tune it, somehow, I don't know, it wasn't my doing, it wasn't my thinking, but I somehow like spin it into what we learned.
Right.
And I would say it, and he would look at me and say, I think that makes you happy.
Uh-huh.
Just absolutely was not, had no, just.
Can't get there from here.
He couldn't get it. Yeah, he just absolutely couldn't.
Just can't get there from
here. His neshama wasn't there. And you have a story with the. You have a story with the rugged shover. You heard of the rugged shover?
Yes.
Okay. The rugged shover thought in abbreviations. He was just like too fast for his own. That's just the way he thought. You know, he would answer people. People would write and ask him questions, and he would write it down. And like, you know, look over here, look over here, look over here. He once had a question from a cousin. Okay, and he asked him a question.
I knew somebody who was Hausbacher by him, the Rugged Shover.
Yeah.
It mamash was an effort for him to get enough out of learning to be able to daven.
Uh-huh.
It was pushing an effort.
Sure. Yeah. So his cousin writes a letter, you know, a question, sends him a whole page of footnotes. And so he wrote him back, he says, a whole page of footnotes, and he says, could you maybe explain this a little better? And so he writes him, normally I wouldn't, but since you're my cousin, here's another page of footnotes.
Yes. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. So he was part of the Moetzes Rabbanim, the Gruz Rabbanim that all the Gedolei in Europe were part of.
Mm.
Okay. And was very close with Lubavitch and the Rebbe Rishab against the communists and closing the Chedorim and all that stuff. When he would meet with the Rebbe Rishab, the story is that he once sat down to learn Likutei Torah with the Rebbe Rishab. Okay? And that he went like this. He said, what could I do? The Tzemach said it gave me a bracha for Nigla. When he was before his upshornish, his father, the Rebbe Rishab's father, brought him to the Tzemach Tzedek,
right.
And the Tzemach Tzedek gave him a bracha for learning Nigla, for learning Gemara.
Yeah.
Okay, so he said, "What could I do if you know?" He said, "Now you're going to tell me the Rebbe Rishab didn't understand Likutei Torah. I should understand it the way he didn't understand it."
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
you know. So everybody has their level. So a piece of nigla, you know, you have a guy. There's the Rebbe Yitzchak Yoel Kahn. You've heard the name?
Yeah.
In all the pictures, he's like standing right in front of the Rebbe, and he's like, you know, he's taking it all in. Okay. He was quoted as saying, "Gemara, that's easy. Chassidus, that's hard." Okay, so for him, you know, to knock off, you know, when he was 15 years old, he wrote a book which upschlugged a sefer called Shav Shmaitis, which was a book of general principles on how to learn Gemara. He said why this guy was wrong. All of his principles were wrong at 14, you know. So for him, Chassidus and the concepts of, you know, Elokus and Ein Sof, those are difficult to understand. So everybody has their own leanings towards, which is why the Baal Shem Tov suggests, what should a person learn? Whatever you want.
You'll gravitate to what you
want. Learn what you want. In other words, if you don't want to learn it, don't learn it.
Right.
It's not gonna. You're not gonna get into it. You're not gonna put yourself into it.
Right.
Okay. You have a Hayyamiyam from a week or so ago. The Friedrich Rebbe asked a question. It was actually written by the Rebbe, but it says, if something is relevant to you, you will really put yourself into it. And it brings an example. You have a Masechta Ksubas, which talks about, of course, the women and the contracts and, you know, getting her dowry and getting her kasuba and, you know, the properties that she brings in with her, which if they're for the husband, if they're not for the husband, then you could just use them. All the different monetary things going on over there. You're learning Gemara. If you learn Gemara, marriage becomes a business proposition. There's nothing about, you know, this to honor, to
love and emotion, and all
that's part. That's forget it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why you can't get married on Shabbos, is because you're entering
contract.
A business deal.
It's
don't business do business contract. On Shabbos.
Business contract.
Okay. So the so he says the claims that a person would come up. He said even an uneducated woman would come up with such claims that the greatest rabbi would never even think that he could would come up. Why? Because it's relevant to her.
Because it's relevant to her, right. Sure.
Okay, so therefore, when it says we're talking different levels of what a person's UD is, whatever it is that a person has, it's all good. Okay, if a person is such a person that he can't learn anything more deeper than a Pasuk in Chumash, good. He'll know the Pasuk in Chumash, and with that Pasuk in Chumash, he'll be united with Hashem in an ultimate unity that there's no way able to describe how unified with Hashem he is.
Right.
And it's just, you could say, just the Pasuk in Chumash. Quote unquote, italicized, just.
Just. Easy on the just there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And everybody, this is the, there was a book, the Mittler Rebbe wrote Svarim for specific Hasidim. He wrote 10 Sfarim for 10 Hasidim.
Okay.
There was one Hasid, whose name escapes me right now, who really, really, really tried. He really worked on himself.
Right.
Couldn't do Mishnayos. Just Mishnayos just wouldn't go into his head. But when he came to Hasidus, this guy was flying. The Mittler Rebbe wrote probably the hardest book of Chassidus called Imrei Bina. For him. Okay, Imrei Bina, if people learn Imrei Bina, you know, they say, oh, you think you're up to learning Imrei Bina? You know, look at that. Look who's learning Imrei Bina this week, you know? Because it's they are very difficult concepts in Chassidus. Okay, and, a Mishnah?
Right.
Mishnah's not hard. They teach Mishnah to 7-year-olds.
Indeed.
You know, but he couldn't get them. Okay.
Yeah.
So, that's then the advantage of what? Of learning Torah, of understanding Torah over all the other mitzvahs. What a person's able to accomplish. Now, so if they're able to accomplish this with themselves, then what is it doing to the rest of the world? The effect of every mitzvah that a person is doing, every mitzvah that you're doing has an effect on the world, because since it's makif,
right,
so it has an effect, an immediate effect. There's a whole, the whole discussion as to the greatness of the negative commandments over the positive commandments. Because positive commandments all have specific limitations as to their performance.
Right.
You can only do a mitzvah so much.
Okay.
But the negative commandments, you cannot do them infinitely.
Yeah, it's, they're limitless in that case.
In that instance, they're limitless. So the effect, therefore, is going to be limitless. So therefore, by a person not killing and not eating pork,
right.
So they are having, an, you might say, an infinite effect on the world, the whole spectrum of creation.
Right.
Okay, so now, we just said now that Yediyas HaTorah is greater than all the other mitzvahs. So what has to happen? What's happening now? There's only, I guess, so much a person can learn. There's a positive commandment.
Okay.
And you can only learn for, say, like 120 years worth
of
time.
Something like that, yeah, right.
Okay. So there's only just so much. But because of the effect that it has, when a person is united with Hashem in this world, so that has an effect on him, on the individual.
Right.
And then the individual has an effect on the surroundings.
On the surroundings.
On the immediate surroundings.
Right.
And then the immediate surroundings have an effect on a far distant. So it will have it, but it'll be different than, say, a Mrs. Lesase. Because how is the world affected by a Mrs. Lesase, by a negative commandment, is only externally. It's only affecting the world in a very superficial way. Look how much this guy's not killing somebody right now.
Right, right.
Okay, whereas Yediyas HaTorah, when a person understands Torah, they're internalizing it. So that will have an internal effect on the world as well.
Right, which in turn causes a greater outward effect.
Correct.
Right.
Okay, in an internal way. There's a famous story. A guy came to the Tzemach Tzedek. He said he's alive so long and he hasn't affected the world. You know the story.
No, go ahead.
So the Tzemach Tzedek said to him, the world's a big place. Have you affected the country? He said, no, I haven't affected the country.
Do you want to do Marv?
You mean from the Umad? No. There's no chiyuv, Baruch Hashem. Stay that way. Anyway, the... Okay, so you haven't affected the country. The country's very big. Russia's huge. Seven time zones.
Right.
That's a big chunk of change.
That's large, yes.
Have you affected the province? I haven't affected the province. Okay, the province is pretty big too. It takes, you know, a whole day to get from one end of the province to the other, you know?
Right.
He says, what about the county? He says, no, he hasn't affected the county. He says, what about your shtetl? He says, what about your shkun, your neighborhood? He says, no. He says, what about your family? He says, I haven't been able to even affect my family. Hmm. Well, what about yourself?
Right.
It's like a bullet between the eyes. He says, you'll affect yourself. It will have an automatic effect on your family, which will have an effect on your neighborhood, which will have an effect on the city, which will have an effect on the county, which will have an effect on the province, which will affect on the country, which will affect the world.
Right.
Okay? It all starts right here.
Yeah, just in the mirror.
Not the buck stops here. It starts here.
That's right.
Okay. And since it is that with the understanding of the Torah encloses itself in the person's soul, and his intellect encompasses it within it, therefore, study of Torah is called, I guess you could say, food for thought. It's called bread of the soul.
Yes, indeed.
Vitamin T.
Yes.
A day without Torah is a day without sunshine.
Yes.
Just like it is with physical bread. You eat it, it goes inside you, you get nourishment.
Right.
And what happens to the bread? You wear it around your waistline. It becomes part of you.
Right.
So then, the person is able to live. So it is when a person learns. We will take a brief break. here.